to say some this morning that I haven't said since I think back in March, but children, you are dismissed for children's church. If you'd like to head upstairs, all those up through second grade would like to go up there and do so at this time. It's interesting what we can take for granted, isn't it? Just some little things. So we're thankful to the Lord for the restart of that today. I wonder today how you might answer just a simple question as we get started on the message this morning. Well, how would you answer this simple question? How peaceful are you feeling today? How peaceful are you feeling even in this very moment? As we're all very acutely aware of maybe even 2020 this year has been anything but peaceful. We've had an election that we've just come off of that's been anything but peaceful. We've had a year of disruption and turmoil. We have political parties that are anything but peaceful. Now we've had media exchanges that have been anything but peaceful. And we realize that even on the national scale, that's only one part of where we might be feeling settled or feeling peaceful or gauging our peace or our unrest based upon that, but we realize there are other factors in our lives as well. I mean, how peaceful are we currently feeling in our homes? I know that when we had younger children, it's gotten a little bit better now, but when we had younger children, Davette and I would joke that somehow Satan entered into our kids on Sunday mornings and then would leave the rest of the week, but Sunday mornings were like the most difficult time to get to church in a peaceful way. There was one time I had to come home right before the service, break in the bathroom window because one of our children had locked themselves in the bathroom, handed our child off to Davette, said, I got to go preach. We go. I mean, that was just some of the turmoil of Sunday. So even, how are we feeling even at peace in our homes? What about peace in our neighborhoods? Peace in the church, peace with friendships and relationships. I think there is a great temptation sometimes when there's unrest in our lives, and when we're more aware of it especially, but for us to almost give up on the possibility that there can be peace. Like that ship has sailed. There's no option, no possibility for peace. And there's a very real temptation for us to give in to that and give in to our feelings of unrest and division and no possibility of peace. I'm excited to turn to the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today where Jesus holds out this very hopeful, real truth of peace. Not just that we are people who have received peace, but that we are, as God's children, those who can extend peace into the relationships that we interact with day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. We're going to be looking at a fantastic passage of Scripture, just one verse, as we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, but where Jesus brings up this topic of peacemaking and being peacemakers. And as we get into the message here in just a few minutes, we're going to really be aware of how unusual peace really is when we think about it on a global scale and we think about it in relation to the hearts of mankind. It really, as Romans chapter 3, verse 17 says that people without Christ, the path of peace, they do not know. Apart from God, the path of peace, we do not know as people. But with God, we can know the path of peace. Our current series that we've been walking through is the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, very famously, on the side of a hill, with thousands of people in attendance, begins to deliver this very thought-provoking, very soul-searching, very, let's take a moment and step back and assess what he's saying, beautiful sermon where he really searches the souls of man. He searches the souls of humanity. And he said, most people are about a physical kingdom, but Jesus immediately in the Sermon on the Mount, as he begins to talk about these beatitudes, these things on the inside, he's going to say, this kingdom is not what the kingdom that you are thinking of, this external, the kingdom is not about eating and drinking, as it says in another place, but about peace in the heart. It is about the king of our souls. It is about God in his rightful place enthroned in our hearts. So Jesus begins these Beatitudes, as we've been watching very sequentially as they go along. It all hinges on verses 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus begins these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that know that we don't bring something to God, but we cling to God's grace. Blessed are those who are not poor in pocketbook, but that know that we don't have the currency in our hearts to bring it to God, to offer ourselves acceptable to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, blessed are those who mourn over this. It is only the broken soul that understands the problem of sin that we have. It is only that broken soul that mourns over our position and where we stand in relation to God, that then comes to God and he brings comfort. The unbroken soul does not have the option, the opportunity for comfort. It is the broken soul brought to God who brings comfort. All of the rest of these Beatitudes hinge on those very things. And what is Jesus describing there but salvation? That is the experience of the soul that stands before the Lord and realizes their spiritual bankruptcy and is broken over it, only to have the washing of grace, the balm of God's very healing brought to them to say, you are my child here and now. By grace we are saved through faith. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, says God himself. So this is the beauty of this sermon that Jesus is going to deliver. He speaks to us clearly. He speaks to us thoughtfully. He speaks to us truthfully. And he gives us the way that is to God. The way that is to God is by his grace, by his mercy. And as we will see today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, he's going to address this idea of those who are merciful, because they will, by their demonstration of mercy, show that God is their Father. They are descendants of God himself. The title of this morning's message is Having Peace and Making Peace. Those who have the peace of God make peace. I mean, first of all, obviously in that first statement, it's peace with God, but then it becomes peace with others. Those who have been shown peace and have it with God extend peace to others. And it is this idea of peacemakers we will be looking at today. Immediately, we're given a sense of hope here, because the mention of the very need for peace makes sense only against a backdrop of unrest. In other words, Jesus was addressing a crowd of people who were very, very familiar with what it looked like to have lack of peace. And he spoke to them about the very subject of peace, its origin, where does it come from, and the outworking of it. So even just the very words of peace falling from the lips of Jesus are hopeful to us. Wait, is there true hope for peace, real peace? This is a very hopeful text here this morning. So here we have our verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and it is simply this: blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of God. I want us to look at three truths of peacemaking people this morning. Three truths that this verse shows us about peacemaking people. The first truth is this: that peacemaking people do the work of making peace. A peacemaker does the work of making peace. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And even in that word, he's letting us know that peacemaking is not a passive endeavor. The verse does not say, blessed are those onto whom peace just falls in their lap. Blessed are those who just get to sit there and peace comes at them naturally. No, it says, blessed are those who are making peace, who are working and endeavoring to do it. What is being described here is not just a quiet person who stays out of the way of everything. What is being described is not something that's merely or only based upon personality. So it's not the shy or the quiet or the passive person that is the peacemaker. That's not what's being described here. Nor is it a person who just makes concessions at every turn to appease everyone. In other words, it can't just be all and only love without truth. This isn't just saying we have peace at any cost, anything goes, and that's how we're going to try to make peace. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Let's look at this word closely. It is an action. A peacemaker is given over to the making, the effort, and the work of peace. It is the action of making peace. This person puts themselves forward to ensure peace in their relationships. Insofar as it depends upon us, we understand that. But listen to this. The person who is the peacemaker has joined in with the enterprise of peace that God offers and pursues. The peacemaker is the person that joins in with the enterprise of something that God has started and something that God pursues. He is the origin of peace. And so a peacemaker has thrown in to the enterprise with God. I will be a peacemaker in my relationships because God has asserted himself and looked upon me with peace. God has initiated peace with me. Ken Sandy is an author who's written a wonderful little book. He's got a couple of versions. Some are shorter. The longer one is the book called The Peacemaker. He describes very well some of the various approaches, both right and wrong, that people give or people think about when they approach this idea of peace. He first of all talked about the peacebreaker. He said the peacebreaker is the one that goes on the attack. The peacebreaker is a person whose focus is on the other person and believes that the other person needs to give in completely to solve the problem. The peacebreaker is usually someone who, because of their anger, gives over preferentially, it can only be my way and not the other person's way. So he talks about people who are peace breakers. But he goes on to describe a second person when it comes to this idea of peace, someone who he calls a peace faker. So they are not aggressively, actively attacking and peace breaking, but instead they're kind of peace faking. They let themselves kind of fade to the background and they avoid. And this approach is all about myself. It's all about me. I will escape the conflict. I'll take the easy way out. He calls them peace fakers. It is the self-protective imbalance of just wanting things to go away rather than to actually solve them and help the situation, and certainly for the Christian to bring it under the glory of God. So he said, we have peacebreakers, we have peace fakers, but what this verse is talking about is the peacemaker. The peacemaker is the person who pursues peaceful relationships. It puts forward not a focus on the other person, not a focus solely on me, but a person who puts forward the focus on us and how we stand before the Lord. It prays for and it looks to the God of peace to intervene in situations. So it's not contributing to the unrest. It's not burying its head in the sand as though to ignore it, but it pursues peace in relationships, and it prays to God and looks to the God of peace to intervene. It follows the lead of God to pursue peace. The motive is the glory of God. The motive is to display the likeness of God here on earth by making peace. It looks to display God's glory between the peace of two people, saying this isn't about my way, my wish, my preferences, but this is about the glory of God, that God is a God of peace, and so we pursue it. So peacemaking people, number one, do the work of making peace. Actually pursue, as God pursues peace with us, we pursue peace in our relationships with others. Secondly, in this verse, though, we find that peacemaking people demonstrate new life ownership. They demonstrate new life ownership. Something has taken over them so that they produce peace and that they pursue peace. Peace isn't something that comes naturally to us as people. In fact, we are in the heart, we are warring people of disruption and disunity. But peacemaking people demonstrate that something new has taken place in their heart and their life. They're demonstrating new life ownership. That my life, we've talked about this before here, volume one and volume two. Volume one of my life was when it was all about me and my way, no God in the equation. Then God does a work on our heart. We realize this life really isn't ultimately about me. I'm not the center of my universe. God is. And volume two is the life of the Christian walking forward. They have a new life and a new heart and new desires and a new disposition that God has done a work in us that we see things differently. And so peacemaking people are demonstrating that there is a new life ownership. There is a new voice that they're listening to, and it is the voice of God in his peace. It says, our verse says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called. And here we're kind of focusing in on this word called. They will be called children of God or sons of God. This might be too obvious to even need mentioning, but humanity is not peaceful by nature. In the book titled The Lessons of History, the authors point out that war is one of the constants of history. If you look back over all history of humanity, you'll find that war is one of the only constants. In the last 3,500 years of history, only 268 of those years have seen no war. Now, if we extrapolated that size of history, that data of history down into just one person's lifetime, the ratio of that would come out to a person who lives about 75 years or an average lifespan. There's only going to be about 8 years of peace in your entire lifespan. That is one of the constants of history, is that humanity is at war. Even in the last 500 years, these are a few countries and how many times they have gone to war. Great Britain has gone to war 78 times in the last 500 years. France, 16 times. Spain, 64 times. Russia, 61 times. Germany, 23 times. The United States, 13 times. China, 11. And Japan, 9 times. It's been creatively said that peace, as we know it as humans, is merely that brief moment in history when everyone stops to reload their weapons. Isn't that a sad commentary, though, brothers and sisters? That peace is so elusive to the human heart, to the world, and to humanity. You'd think that with all of these years of war and all of these experiences of war in history, that we would have at least accidentally stumbled upon a decent solution to war. But unfortunately, we have not. The truth of the matter is that we are not peaceful creatures by nature. Not on a world level, not on a personal level. So what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, he is showing and demonstrating that a peacemaking person stands out. A peacemaking person is unusual. A peacemaking person is different. It shows that a peacemaking person has a fundamental motive that is different in dealing with other people, that it is changed. Having received peace from God, they are now extending peace to others. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called. They shall be acknowledged. They shall be recognized as changed people. They demonstrate that the God of peace has invaded their life, has come in and done something so life-altering and different that the God of peace has come upon them. They are now under a peaceful governance and a peaceful ownership, and they can't help but now join him in that enterprise and extend peace to others. So peacemaking people, number one, they do the work of making peace. Number two, they demonstrate new life ownership. And thirdly, we see by this phrase at the end of verse 9 that peacemaking people are none other than those who have descended from the God of peace. They descend from God, who is the God of peace. They are his descendants themselves. The children of God will bear his likeness. A paternity test of a peacemaker shows that God is their father. If you could somehow take a spiritual paternity test, the peacemaker would demonstrate that the God of peace is their father. A peacemaker shows that he or she is a descendant of the God of peace. As I mentioned when we were taking communion a few moments ago, God could have wiped the earth clean of sinners. You remember when God, in his fullness, in his glory, in his perfection, in his greatness, creates the earth and all that is in it, puts Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a place of perfection, gives them, but really one law, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They break that law. They cast their vote decidedly against the God of perfection and goodness. God could have reacted or acted in a far different way. He could have wiped the earth clean of sinners. Instead, he clothed himself with forgiveness and pursued peace with humanity. You remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 says the very thing, that he comes to Adam and Eve and he takes the skins of an animal and he covers their shame in symbolic way of covering their sin, and he brokered peace with humanity. What a wonderful God of peace, that those who know God and have been and have experienced that peace are now those that extend peace to others. Jesus bears many titles. One of them is the Prince of Peace. God brokered peace through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Since the mission of God is peace with sinners through Jesus Christ, so too is the mission of God's children. It's peace that has been received from God and extended to others because of Jesus Christ. I want us to consider a quote I've got here by Martin Lloyd-Jones. I just believe he succinctly summarizes this idea so well. He says, "Why did the Son of God ever come into this world? Because God is a God of peace. He's done something. He's made peace. He's humbled himself and his Son to produce it. That is why the peacemakers are children of God. What they do is repeat what God has done." This is exactly what Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 is teaching. Blessed, the bestowal of God's favor and grace is upon the person who is a peacemaker because he has God as his Father. So what do peacemakers do but demonstrate and extend that peace so that the proclamation of God's peace to us can be spread throughout the world? It really is an evangelistic endeavor. It's an endeavor that holds up the glory of God in our relationships. I read a story a number of years ago about a man who had been injured on the job at his workplace. And as he sat down with the company offered him $5,000 for his injuries. This man had already consulted with an attorney, and he was listening to the attorney in his ear who said, "Go for more. You can get far more. Go for more. Don't take that offer." And so the man began to listen to his attorney, got into a legal battle that began to disrupt the company, and it created division within the workers of whether he should have done this or shouldn't have done this. And after a time of this going on, the man spent some time with the Lord, and he realized what he needed to do. He needed to be a peacemaker. He went into his boss, and he said, "You know, for my part in this that I've done, for the disruption that I've caused, I'm sorry. I'm going to drop the suit that I have going against you. I'll take your offer if that's still on the table. but I want to be a peacemaker in my place of work. God has extended peace to me. I want to have peace in my relationships. Do you know what ended up happening at that company? Word began to spread like wildfire. Who is this crazy guy that's settling peaceful accounts with everybody? Don't we need to arm wrestle and get what's ours and stick it to everybody else? And what ended up happening is revival fires began to spread through this company. People began to ask questions about this God of peace. There began to be Bible studies. People began to come to know the Lord. And those that already knew the Lord were strengthened in their faith because there was someone who in the situation there decided, God is a God of peace who has extended peace to me. And in this situation, I am going to be a peacemaker. And it put the glory of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the love of God, the pursuit of the God of peace on display, and it made a difference because it was so unusual. This is what Jesus is teaching us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who pursue peace. They will demonstrate that they are children of God. Children of God. God brokered peace through Jesus Christ to us. We extend that peace to others. What do we take from this text today? I have just a message to the non-Christian, if you're here today, an unbeliever. Do you realize that the God of peace is offering eternal peace to you? Be reconciled to God. As Christians, it is our delight and duty and privilege to speak well of the Lord and to proclaim to those who do not yet believe and who have not been put in right relationship with God, be reconciled to Him. He has made the terms for peace and offered them to you if you will but trust in Jesus Christ. Not your own works, not your own goodness. Throw that down and say, God, I want peace with you no matter what is unsettled in my life. I want my heart to be settled with you. Would you bring peace to me? He offers it to you. Be reconciled to Him. Lay down your weapons of resistance against God and receive. Receive His full, sweeping, eternal offer of peace. He offers it to you. And then to the Christian here today, we could probably hear a message similar to this multiple times a year, a message on peace and how we need to pursue peace in our relationships. But this is to the Christ followers. When possible, and insofar as it depends on you, realizing that we cannot force peaceful relationships in all situations at all times, we understand that. But insofar as it depends upon us, live peaceably with those around you and be peacemakers. Pursue peace. Christ and the gospel is more important than our temporary preferences. And sometimes we just need to set those down and pick up the gospel of peace and bring that into our relationships. I just wonder very simply, but very specifically, who in your life right now are you not at peace with? And are you in a position or are you able to attempt or to pursue peace with them? Jesus would say, God's favor bestowed and grace bestowed upon you, especially when you are in the act of peacemaking and pursue peace. When we do this, Christians, we put the glory of God and the glory of the God of peace on display, and we demonstrate that we are His children. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be recognized as the offspring of the God of peace. What a tremendous verse. It challenges our hearts today. Let's close our time in prayer. Lord, we first and foremost thank You that You are a God of peace. We would not know peace if we did not know You. It is in Your character. It is Your attribute. It is who You are. You are a God of peace. And we thank You for the peace that You have offered and made possible to us through the death of Jesus Christ. You have brokered peace for us, Lord. We thank You for that. I pray just that you would strengthen us through the challenge of this text here today, that in our relationships where we're not pursuing peace, Lord, that you would give us the desire, give us both the will and the ability to do it. No, that might mean that there could be some hard decisions made here today, that there might be some that would just commit even in the quietness of their seats right now. Lord, insofar as it depends on me, I will begin to make peace. I'll begin to go after peace with people in my life where there is not peace. Lord, we bathe this request in prayer. We roll it to your feet, and we ask that we would have homes and a church and communities of peace because our eyes are fixed on the God of peace. Thank you for your word here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.